Marley, get in here, legend. With the fur on.
It's freezing out there, man. It's a jungle out there, man.
What? When did you buy that fur?
I bought this fur about 4 years ago.
Oh, okay. So that's...
You thought it might have been an original?
No, I'm saying what publishing check came in and he was
good question.
Fur.
Hey, Cypher Sounds, where does one start to talk with Marley Marl? Where in God's green earth do you start with Marley Marl?
I mean, I don't know the beginning. I know a lot about Marley Marl. I don't know the beginning.
Well, let's go around Eric B's president time.
No,
that's not the beginning.
I know.
What's before that?
What's the beginning?
What
the beginning was Dimples D. I actually made an answer record.
No, before that.
Before that?
No, yeah. I couldn't. That was it.
Where did you even get the idea that you wanted to make beats? Or?
Being Mr. Magic's DJ. Being, you know, since Mr. Magic was one of the first hip-hop DJs.
Who told you how to DJ?
My brother. I was used to watch
What's your brother's name? High Fidelity Crew.
His name was Larry Ladd. His name is in the bridge. Larry Laughter.
He's not Last. That's my brother. Larry Ladd.
That's your brother.
See? That's what you do.
See?
Sight on Earth Gems. There you go.
Larry Ladd is Marley Marl's brother.
The family
is not good with making up names.
Larry Ladd, Marley Marl.
They're amazing terrible with names.
Let me tell you, but we named him Larry Ladd after I became Marley Marl.
Oh, it was? Okay.
And he was just DJ Larry then, but we had to spice it up with ourselves. We said, Larry Ladd, Larry.
Sife, hold on, just do a quick recap, Sife. His original name was just DJ Larry. They said the most we could add to it is another Lair.
Right. What was my name? My original name was... Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Marvelous Marlin, the magical mixer of disco sounds.
Oh my God. You guys and names. What is wrong with you?
At the time, no. It was probably...
But that took 3 minutes to say.
Marvelous.
So,
it was an intro. Marlin. It was an intro.
So Larry, your brother Larry's older than you?
Yes. 10 years older than me.
And 10 years older. Yeah. Wow. So he was already really going in when you were coming up.
They was doing the break beats. A lot of the break beats, like Nobody Beats the Biz break beats, and some of the break beats that I started going back using his records because that's what they used to use.
And was he like a real digger? Like all those records you use, how many of those were they popular records or some of them just random stuff he had?
Well, I would use the more popular stuff that I would see them use and see the crowd move. So I remembered, okay, they used to play that African Music Today record. So that's why I made Nobody Beats the Biz. They used to rock that. And because they was dancers. Back in those days, they was dancers as opposed to doing it for the hip-hop aspect of rap. It was into dance.
Yeah, it was just get the break so we can dance.
Get the break so we could dance.
So you can let the poppers pop and...
Sorry.
The breakers break. Sife, what are you doing?
I got a weird voicemail.
What happened? Is everything okay?
Somebody was...
Are they aware of what you're doing right now?
Sorry. It's like, yo, man, you busted my fender and broke my tail light.
What?
You ain't got nothing to say?
What, were they talking jive?
I don't know if they were on another phone and talking to somebody that they got...
What year was this that they call from?
he's like, you left your number on my windshield.
What year was this?
You ain't got nothing to say? I was like, what is this? Sorry, I got captivated for a moment. So,
we're talking about letting the poppers pop.
Oh, and the breakers break?
Yeah, so the beats at that point was about getting the people to dance.
Right.
Were your parents super into music, or was it just a you guys thing?
Well, it was so funny because my parents was into, like, soul music. Then my cousins came from, they was actually kids of someone that was in a service, so they had more, you know, they had access to more music. So they came with the pop. The WABC. See, we're strictly WWRL in my house. My cousins came from England, put us on the WABC, and that's when it all opened up.
But what's your background?
My background?
Yeah.
For what?
Racially, ethnically.
Yeah. Racially? I'm a black American, but my grandmother is from, she's Native American. You know, they stole her land, you know. But she's Native American. My pops was just the down south guy.
And what, your family was in England? Oh, you said because it was in the service.
Service, yeah. Oh. Yeah.
So, did your brother, where were you living at this point, by the way?
It's Queensbridge, strictly Queensbridge.
Always
all
Queensbridge.
I know. Always. I mean, let me tell you something. My mom's had my apartment before I got there. Years later, I was able to make enough money and move her out and buy her a nice house down south. But she was in Queensbridge like 40 years.
Did anyone ring off from Queensbridge before you?
Oh yeah, there was a lot of things going on in Queens. It was before me. There was a lot of bands like Daryl Payne. He made a lot of the Cinnamon Records, Thanks to You, Beat the Street. You know, so there was a lot of guys, the Daryl Paynes, the Andre Booths. You know, they made a lot of New York City Peach Boys is from Queensbridge. Bernard Fowler, Don't Make Me Wait. That guy was from Havoc's building, actually. So there was a lot going on before rap.
How popping off was Larry Lair?
Larry Lair, they was just local, the local DJs in the neighborhood. They didn't have radio to catapult their careers, such as I.
So how did you get to Mr. Magic?
Well, Mr. Magic, he heard me DJing with Mr. Bobley, Dr. Bobley. I was an intern at WBLS on the van, and one day Mr. Magic heard me do a mix. It's like, wow, my record don't do that. I was like, because it's not a Molly Mall remix. Who's Molly Mall? Me.
So you started interning at BLS?
Yes.
While in high school or college?
High school.
While in high school, you started interning.
Yeah.
And so he instantly was impressed with the way that you mixed a record.
Yeah, he heard my Buffalo Gals remix. And he said, wow, my record doesn't do that. Why does yours do that and mine don't? And I was like, because I mixed it.
What did you do to Buffalo Gals?
I split it up, extended some parts, looped some things in it. And it was just a little different from the original. And he heard
it. How did you do it? On tape?
Yeah, I was splicing tapes back then. I was like a splicer.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I was a splicer.
And what were you using? Were you using the studio at BLS?
No, I was actually using some makeshift stuff that my brother left after he went to the service because my stepfather convinced him not to be a DJ and go to the service.
So he left you some equipment?
He left me some equipment, some records. He left me a life, basically.
Turntables?
There was like some corny Pioneer turntables, no pitch control, but I learned how to use it.
When did you originally, did you get 1200s first? Did you get 1710s or something?
We were so poor, I had like BSRs, like opposite. I had like...
Not even matching?
Matching turntables, yeah. There was a rich guy in our building had 1200s. He used to laugh at us all the time.
When did you eventually get the 1200s?
He was a rich man in Queensbridge Project.
Yeah,
how rich was
guy.
He? What was he doing? And why was he
living project rich?
He's probably, because, we would have the pull-string motorbikes. He'd have the gear shifts. So he always had one step over us.
But still in projects.
He used that money and moved out.
Yeah. He was spending on bikes. So how long did it take for Magic to bring you under his wing?
He asked me, actually, the first time he heard it, heard one of my mixes, he asked me to come on his show the next weekend. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. And I'll let him play the record, let him play the remix. And then he was going to grab for another record after the mix. I was like, dude, that don't mix with that. What are you doing? It's going to be a plane crash. He said, what do you mean? Tell me what you're talking about. So I went and picked out a record, mixed it smooth. He's like, wow. But see, you got to think about it. I wasn't into hip hop first. I was into break beats. I was into Giorgio Moroder. Giorgio Moroder was my hero. If it wasn't for Giorgio, he produced Donna Summer, I Feel Love, electronica music. I was into electronica way before hip-hop. That's how I had the edge over people in hip-hop because I was already an electronic producer. I was already sampling. It just wasn't in hip-hop.
So what were you making?
We're going to talk about you and sampling, Molly.
Oh, yeah.
So what were you sampling? What were you using it for? You were making, like, club records?
I want to hear this, sir.
Electronica stuff.
Marley invented sampling.
I didn't invent sampling. I brought sampling to hip-hop.
Okay.
That's what I did. I brought James Brown. I brought the funk to hip-hop. Because you got to think, before I started bringing those sounds to hip-hop, it was all about drum machines. Davey, DMX, Sucker MCs, boom, pat, pat, pat. It was all about that. But when I came, and, it happened because, I was Mr. Magic's DJ. I was playing a lot of records I didn't like. Number one.
The stuff he liked?
It was stuff that was out
and
people was, giving us to play, and it was like the early beginnings of rap. It was like,
what year are we talking now?
It was just like 82-ish, 81-ish.
That early?
Yeah. And it's like the records were bad.
Yeah, like, let's be totally honest about it.
Yeah.
My knowledge base and my love of hip hop really starts when you started making records. No, 86, 87. That's when it really started. Pre-85,
right.
When I hear Flex talk about those records, I don't know nearly as many as I wish I did. But there aren't that many great ones from that
era. Right, right.
And so you didn't love a lot of stuff. There's a couple, but not a ton.
Nah.
82, it was some. 83?
Yeah, it was some. Like AJ Scratch was coming up. Curtis Blow stuff was, pretty good. If I Rule the World, Daydreaming.
Sucker MCs was great.
Sucker MCs, yeah, that was like a pinnacle point in my life because I made an answer called Sucker DJs for Sucker MCs. And it wasn't an answer going at them. It was just so I could have something special because I want to be that special DJ. I don't want to play with, still to this day, I don't play what everybody plays. I have to make it different. If you're going to listen to me, it's going to be something different to it. So that was me from the beginning. That's how I got in the game, just starting to do that.
What
Sucker
was
MCs
Sucker DJs,
thing.
By the way? You redid the beat?
I did redid the beat, and I had a girl as opposed to, you know, as Dimples D was rhyming, talking about Sucker DJs. While you know, running them, talking about Sucker MCs.
And do you replay the drums?
Yeah, we replayed
so
the
same
drums.
Kind of drums.
Same pattern. We just added on it. That was one of my experiments, going to the studio, make a little remix, and I didn't even make it to be a record. A lot of my early stuff wasn't even made to be records. The Bridge was never supposed to be a record, and my first record was never supposed to be a record. Roxanne Shanté's Roxanne Revenge wasn't supposed to be a record.
What was it supposed to be?
It was just something for me to play on the radio to be different from the other DJs.
And then became a song.
And it just blew up.
So, Saif, what do you want to ask him about sampling?
No, I remember hearing a story saying he invented it by accident. Or did you find a sampler by accident? Or?
Well, how it came to me for hip-hop, it was by accident, kind of, because I was trying to sample a word line in a record, and I caught the snare before the word line. So while the track was playing,
you invented, like chopping drums.
That was, yeah, it was by accident. I got the snare by mistake, and I started rocking the snare, chopping the drum up with the track that I was playing, and I started like, wow.
Right, instead of just taking a whole drum loop,
right?
He took the kick and the snare and then played.
Made my own beat. And that's, you know, after that started happening, I looked at the engineer, I was like, yo, shit, you know what we just did? He's like, what? We just took the sound from there. It's like, no, we opened the door for any hip hopper to use any kick snare they want for any pattern. Do you know what that means? He's like, yeah, we sampled the thing. I was like, no, you don't get it yet.
You're not getting it.
I'm out of here. I left the studio and went home and bought like 3 samplers and never went back to work. That was it. And I was an intern at Unique Studio.
What you were trying to get a line?
Yeah.
Like, girls be coming around my way. You were gonna
but the snare was there first.
You sampled too early.
Right.
So the snare was there.
Yes.
And you were trying to truncate it out.
Right.
And you like.
And I heard it with the track, and I was hitting it with the track, and I was like, wow, this sounds good.
It don't have to be just words.
Right. Right.
Just grab this snare.
Right. Let's take it from the words, because in electronica, we was doing, you got to think, I was an intern at Unique, so I saw AEIOU be made. You know, all of the Arthur Baker records. I was like the intern watching all of this stuff happen.
Right.
And they was sampling, but it wasn't hip hop. It was for dance. And it was going so fast. So when I got the gym,
they
was like anything. AEIOU. All that sample. So they're doing all the vocals first.
What were they using?
A Fairlight computer, which cost like about $100,000 back then. $100,000 for like about 10 minutes of sampling.
10 minutes?
10 minutes.
What was it supposed to be used for?
For vocals, orchestration, and stuff like that. So we just took it, you know, I just gritted it out. Once I got James Brown up in that B.I., it was crazy.
What was the first James Brown record you sampled?
It had to be Funky Drummer Snare. That's when I really got up on it. I think I could have been getting something from there and caught the snare by mistake and started hearing it, and I was like, hold up, that means I could get the kick, the snare, and any pattern that's hot in the street, I can make that drum do that. And nobody was thinking about that.
So you could just take the drum sounds.
Right. You just take the kicks and snares.
And then recreate other hot drum patterns with those kicks and snares.
100%, yeah. Kind of like Eric B is President. It's kind of like Funky President, but it's Impeach the President, kick and snare, but the pattern of Funky President.
Yeah, people always say that Eric B for President is Impeach the President kick and snare.
It is.
It doesn't sound like. What did you do to it?
Well, I had some cheap, dirty ass, cheap ass samplers before, you know, before Mama said knock you out. It's like before Mama. So everything was kind of like it was just
like
basement.
It was basement style.
Yeah, it was basement style. Was low, my cheap sample is.
So the low quality sampler made it sound ill like that.
Yes, it made it into that and made it sound nasty. And it's just, you know, just pitching it down and just playing around.
But so it's Impeach the President drums.
Yes.
Funky President pattern.
Yes.
Jesus
Christ. Yes.
How long did you. So now you're still helping out Magic, mm-hmm. but now you're making beats all the time.
Right.
So that's your only life now. You're a radio DJ and a producer full time.
Yeah, he's ties around.
Yeah, yeah, he's hanging around. Yes.
Are you like still just living at home?
I'm still in Queensbridge. Still there. Mr. Magic's DJ. Since I was an intern, I interned for Magic for 2 years on the air without getting paid. I was putting in work because, you know, I loved what I was doing. He gave me an opportunity to shine. And, you know, if it wasn't for him, I would be just shining in the window.
And was he shouting you out from the beginning?
Every night. He made me famous. He shouted me out so much that Mr. Robinson from Sugar Hill, Joe Robinson, was telling him, stop saying his name so much. He's going to be more famous than you. Because he's saying his name too much. Don't say his name that much.
Sound like hate.
A lot of hate. It was starting to happen. That's when I knew I was doing something good because the hate was brewing.
And of course, that's real. I mean, you did. Wait, when did they give you the show? Or when did you get your own show?
After a while, you know, Mr. Magic, they didn't redo his contract. And one day they told me I came to work to do the Mr. Magic show. And they said, Magic won't be. At first they said, Magic's not in today. You got to fill in for him. They didn't say that. They didn't re-sign him. So, all right.
Had you already filled in for him before?
No. Nah,
you hadn't done the show by yourself yet?
No. Nah, I never cracked the mic.
You never cracked the mic?
Never. Nothing. I was behind the scenes. Never said nothing. All he said was my name for like 2 years. And I just was, you know, doing the music. And
ghost DJing, basically. Yeah, what he said.
And I was coming up with all the, you know, all the dope things that everybody loved about the show and making the show tight and the mixes was tight. He was always saying my name. I'm good. That's why I was good with that. And then one day they said, hey, Magic's not coming in today. We need you to crack the mic. I was like, crack the mic? I don't know what to say. And then all of a sudden I was like, I found myself not being able to DJ and talk and keep it coherent. So that's when I decided to bring in, you know, other DJs. You know, that's when In Control started.
So how long did you try to do it yourself?
I tried to do it for about, maybe for the summer. I tried it out for the summer.
Wait, but so they fired Magic.
Yeah.
And Fly Tie is your manager?
Fly Tie was Fly Tie was my out management when we was with Cold Chillin' in the earlier years. By the time I got my own radio show, Tyrone wasn't my manager anymore. Oh. But in the earlier years,
brother.
His manager.
So when did you take control? When did you?
I think that was about, it could have been like 86-ish. No. It could have been like 87, 88-ish. In control.
But you were already putting out records.
So the bridge is already out.
The bridge been out already, yeah.
Roxanne
was out already.
Roxanne's already been out.
Yeah. Kane was brewing. Biz and them started coming around. They started brewing.
G-Rap too, right?
G-Rap, yeah. G-Rap, yeah.
So Magic gets fired, but you're still putting out records through Cold Chillin'.
Yeah, I'm still. I was still signed to Cold Chillin'.
And so you had a deal. You had your own deal with Cold Chillin'.
No, my deal with Cold Chillin' was this. I was the staff producer. Bring me the ideas. I'll make y'all hot. That's basically what
and
it was.
And you get paid per record?
I was on.
He didn't get paid.
No,
oh,
check
sorry,
it out.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, I didn't get royalties. Let's make that clear.
Ding, ding, ding.
I didn't get royalties, but I was a staff producer on salary. So I was making $200,000 a year. My first year at Cold Chill, and I made $65,000 a year. Then I made $200,000 a year.
That's a good bump.
It was cool. But it wasn't cool when I was making full albums for $200,000 a year. That wasn't cool.
Because you did full albums.
Full albums. So, you know, that's when I got up. I was like, hold on.
How
man.
Old are you at the time?
Wow.
You're like 20. You're a kid still. You're mid-20s,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was just having fun. I mean, I didn't get into this business for the money. I didn't get on the radio to be famous. I got on it because this is what I like to do. And it just happened to happen. I didn't know about the money. I didn't even know
so
about publishing.
So $200,000, that's what I'm saying. Considering you were doing what you loved and you're 25 years old, $200,000 ain't bad.
Well, and I was still living in the project, so my rent was like $150 a month. So and free electricity.
So you were
making
stacking
records.
Money.
That's why I had to move. It was too fruitful.
So, you had to get out of there.
You had to get the
Where'd
right.
you go?
I had to move to Astoria.
Moved to the projects down the block.
No, I moved to a nice...
I thought you moved to Ravens. You never lived in Ravenswood?
No, it was down that direction, though. But I moved into a nice little townhouse in Astoria, freshly built townhouse. Got married, got the car, the dog.
Did all that.
It was a disaster.
None of it worked out.
No, it was a
How
disaster.
How long did your marriage last?
About Well, I had to pay for 25 years, but it only lasts for like two.
Married for 2 years.
Oh my God, disaster!
You know what I mean? You messed up, man.
How many kids do you have?
I
got married. I had one kid with her, and you know, a beautiful son. I love him to death. But what I had to go through for all those years, I'm just getting out of it, dude. I'm just putting money in my pocket like since last year because of all of that. I've been through a war.
And those are decisions you made.
Decisions I made.
A long time.
Yes. Because it was out of control. I got to say, that whole period was out of control. It was like things were just happening.
It was supposed to be Marley Marl in control.
Yeah, it was, but it was out of control.
Out of control.
Very much out of control.
Out of control volume, never.
Did you know her before or you met her after you blew up?
I met her on the rise.
Whose cousin was she?
She was no one's cousin.
Good guess.
But I can tell you one thing, though. She helped me because I was a project kid, just getting off of drugs, making $200,000 a year, living in the projects. So, come on, my expenses were none. All I could do was blow money. So she taught me how to use money. One day I was driving in my rental car. She's like, "Hey, you like this car? You rented it. Why you rent cars all the time?" Because I'm like, I don't know about money. I can't afford a car. Come on. She's like, "Watch this. Let's go in the car dealer." She takes me in the car dealer. "Tell him your social security number." I give him my social security number. "What kind of car would you like?" "Well, I like the same car I got that I've been renting. I want the same exact thing." "What's the interior
what
like?"
"What kind of car was it?"
"Yeah, it was a Cougar. It was like a Mercury Cougar." Back in, that was my first car. My first car was a brand new car, by the way.
So you were geeked.
I was geeked. That was my first car. So, all right, now she's like, so we're talking to the guy. All of a sudden, he throws keys at me. No money down, no nothing. How do you throw keys at me with no money down? Because you got a loan. You don't got to pay $1,500 for this a month that you've been renting. You can only pay $200, $250 a month. I was like, "What?" She's like, "Why are you renting? You're renting this nice place, but you should own. What do you mean?
I should own. Did teach you some things.
She taught me some. She taught me some stuff.
She said, "You should get another walk-in closet so I can put my stuff in."
Of course, yeah. She did it just like that. "Hey, this house is nice." You know, we started looking at houses, and I bought a house.
Where was she from?
She was from New York.
Queens?
Yeah, Queens girl. Astoria girl.
So why'd it go bad?
It went bad because it was just out of control. I mean, it was artists coming to the... Now we bought a nice big house, trying to get our family together. Now the Juice Crew got to come to record in our beautiful house. And it was just...
She wasn't feeling it.
No, she was not feeling it. She was like, tell them to take their shoes off. Tell them to do this. It was crazy.
You should have kept your apartment in the projects and left it as a studio.
Yeah, it was too hot.
You can't just be walking out of there at 2 a.m.
Yeah, it was too hot.
Killing it on the radio.
Yeah, let me tell you how the lines used to be out in front of my building when I lived out in Queensbridge for beats, rhymes, anything.
Any of those people turn into be anyone, though? Any of those people who are online?
Like, get out of here, Nazir.
Biz Markie.
Biz Markie.
Yeah.
No, the funny thing with Nas never approached me for anything. Because Nas, yeah, I didn't know him. I used to see him because he lived on the other block. He used to watch us, but he used to see me. I had Cormega down with me. Tragedy. You know what I'm saying? Craig G. So he was like.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Just real quick. Arrest the President.
Ooh.
One of my favorite records.
Ooh.
Sorry. Ooh. Proceed.
Arrest the President. Arrest the President. But anyway, Nas never stepped to me for music. When I first knew that he could rhyme, it was on Live at the Barbecue when I heard him. Oh, that's Nasir from Vernon. Oh, that's the dude with the gazelles that be watching us all the time. He can rhyme?
Wow.
That's Olu's son?
Olu's, there you
that's
go.
Olu's son?
Because Olu was the musician in the neighborhood. So he was
famous?
He was, yeah, in the neighborhood. He was neighborhood famous. He's the horn player.
And you knew him?
Yeah. But he never said to me, "My son rap." He never said that.
Is that the guy that left
He's the guy who just left
you
the voicemail.
Olu?
Why'd you put a thing on Nas's dad's car? And so how'd you meet Biz?
Biz hung out in Queensbridge for the weekend. He was like determined to meet Marley Marl. he just came one Thursday. I met him on a Sunday. He stayed out there for the whole damn weekend making
Jamaica.
People laugh. Hanging out and just chilling on the bench for the whole weekend. "Yo, Marl, you got to meet this guy. He's a beatbox." I'm like, "Come on, man. I don't want to hear no damn beatbox. Fat Boys is dominating right now. Hello?"
Yeah, there's no room.
There's no room. You know what I'm saying? And then he did that. I was like, yo, sign him. Come to my house tomorrow. That's how it
How much stuff did you... So you own no part of Coachella?
The label, no. I don't own any part of that. I own my masters that I produced.
Right.
You know,
you got later on.
Right. I was able
but
to go back
time,
in. Right.
You didn't own Coachella.
I didn't own anything.
Fly Tie and Mr. Magic?
It was Fly Tie and a guy named Len Fitchelberg. Who used to own
Saif? Why did you look at me when I said, why did you look at me?
Because Jewish.
I know why you looked at me. I was waiting for the Jew name to come up. He's like, Cole Chillin. There he is.
Well, Len Fischelberg, he used to own Prism Records before.
Oh, that's how they come together?
Right. Because
that's why the original Raw and a couple other records
and Picking Boogers and like
Prism.
So wait, why is some of the early stuff was on the other one? Zakiya.
Are you talking
Zakiya
about
was the rock was there
Zakiya was Rakim and him. You're talking about Snowflake. I think Snowflake, our earlier Cold Chillin' stuff was Snowflake, and then it turned into Cold Chillin'.
That was on
Prism, Snowflake, Cold Chillin'. That's what happened. And Len Fischelberg owned Prism Records, which there was a big dance label back in the day. They had like a Geraldine Hunt Records. Lime is big still to this day.
No, it's when you're looking through records
and you see a Prism and you're
like, oh, big daddy can't.
Lime.
I hate that. There's so many groups that are probably awesome that I feel that way about.
Right. So they was doing that first, yeah.
They had Prism and then they
flipped it into Coachella. Yeah.
And that's why so they put out some of that stuff originally, but then they were like, all right, we're going to just do our own rap label instead.
There you go.
And then they re-put it out.
And then Warner Brothers. Here comes Warner Brothers. That's when I started making $200,000 when Warner Brothers came.
So Warner Brothers came in and bought Cold Chillin'?
Just did distribution.
Or just did distribution for it? Just they gave him some money?
Gave up some cash.
So what was the first thing you got super paid off of?
The first thing I got super paid off of...
No, not super paid.
Let's say, yeah, like, not grand
era,
scheme.
In that era.
In that era for super paid... I would say when I did In Control album, when I did my own album.
Got an advance?
I got paid. I was like, ooh, I could do this more. You know, that's why I bought my house upstate. My first house of hits, was bought off of In Control. Let's make that clear.
And from the advance or the residuals?
What residuals? I've never seen any residuals
from
Cold Chillin'. I didn't see not one statement, one residual check from Cold Chillin' in my life.
Does that mean to this day you haven't been paid for those songs?
Never. Only time I started getting paid is when I got my masters back and good guys like Jay-Z started sampling with Maya, put my kids through college, making...
Great. Thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah.
So how much money is that when Jay uses...
We're skipping over a lot.
Well, we're going to get back. We're not going to leave it.
Right. Well, it's a college fund.
Literally,
I can say my daughter
because of the
college.
Maya record, because of a remix of Best of Me.
Of course. The remix of Best of Me generated more money than the original.
Not
the music.
Jay, though.
Of course.
What did Jay do? He just rhymed on it.
Yeah, I know.
Trackmasters.
No, Trackmasters.
Trackmasters paid you.
Well, you know, he rhymed on it too. We're all sharing in the wealth.
That's still pretty good.
Yeah, that did really well. That did well for
Jay-Z
me.
Did a few too.
Of course.
Jay-Z and Shy did the Marley Marl. Too.
Of course. Well, I remixed that. I made that.
You did the remix.
Yeah,
too.
I made that, yeah. So
that's right. You get the shout out at the beginning.
Yeah. So right, anybody that samples that stuff, now they come clear with me and you know. And it's not only the beats, it's words now. Because, you know, you gotta look at Theraflu record with Kanye.
Perfect. Tell us what's that.
Can a young nigga get money anymore? Didn't LL say that on Illegal Search? Mm-hmm. So that meant off of that record, Kanye record, that meant I owned 60% of the song because it was the chorus. So
sorry,
it's like quiet money.
So you get you get 60%?
Of course, of Theraflu.
Simply because he said
you get it.
Yes.
What about LL?
He get money too.
So all together,
we share that. Yeah, we share that. Yeah.
Wow, because it's the chorus,
right?
It's a big part of it.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. So it's publishing. Now, I didn't know anything about publishing when I got in the game. I was just doing this to make beats and make people's head bop. That's all I got into this for. I didn't care.
Success.
Right. I just did it for that.
You did a great job with that. And then you also did well some other stuff as well. So who are you closest with from the crew at this point?
Me and Kane is real good. Everybody.
But back then, were you close with everyone?
You know who I was the closest with back then? It was really TJ Swan. Because me and TJ Swan used to just you know,
get into it.
Yeah, TJ Swan used to just watch everything. Me and TJ Swan was really close back then.
Where is TJ Swan now?
TJ Swan lives in Colorado. Give a hand to Colorado, mm-hmm. because it's a smoke area now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's good times.
It's, you know, good times. High times
what
area.
What does TJ Swan do?
TJ Swan left the industry so he could raise his daughter. TJ Swan was a player back in the day. So God gave him a daughter.
Of course.
And so he like left the game and said, I'm going to raise my daughter right. So he went to Colorado and went and put his daughter through college.
Doing what, though? Like just working?
No, I mean, I don't know what he did. He, you know what? I think he was producing. He was on the low. He was producing TV shows with Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde guy. With Mr. Hyde. I think he was doing TV shows with him.
When was the last time you saw him?
About 2 years ago. I still speak with him.
You talked to him? You have his number?
Yeah.
Never a TJ Swan album. Was it recorded?
Yes, it was.
Stop it. Why don't you put it out?
We almost was going to put it out.
Just put it out.
You know what the funny thing was? TJ Swan was about to be signed to Arista. And Clive Davis loved TJ Swan.
Everybody did?
Yeah, he loved him. He's like calling him his son. There was supposed to be a duet with TJ Swan and Whitney Houston. Could you believe this?
And what happened?
So he's ready to sign the deal, and then somebody from Cold Chillin' calls over to Arista and say, hey, you about to sign my artist? He's like, what?
Was he signed?
No, he wasn't. And that kind of messed the whole deal up.
Even though he wasn't even signed.
That's a Jamaican move.
Yeah. It was hold on.
What, the small label?
Yeah, like...
They don't even have a deal?
Yeah, but they might have signed something like something nasty.
So are you sitting on this album? You have it?
Oh, yeah, I got it.
You physically know where it is?
Yeah, I physically got the dats. I got everything. Right? I know
you're not like...
Everything.
You've never been to
Marley's house before? No. You've never been to Marley's house?
No, wow.
Wow.
Why'd you say that? Like, I have been to his house.
Because everybody goes to his house. I would figure you...
I invite everyone over to my house.
No, this is different.
How have I not gone to his house?
It's different, yeah. His house is like a
shrine to hip-hop.
Hip-hop shrine.
Nah, you know what? I wouldn't even say a shrine because a shrine feels like you can't touch anything. Like, you go in there, he's like, oh, just in his living room. Oh, yeah, those are the turntables from BLS.
Right. Like, so real quick, hold on. So how about to accompany this Juan Epstein, me and you take a trip up there and we bring a camera?
Oh, so
can we do that?
Yeah, tour to the house of heads.
That would be amazing. A tour of the house of heads?
The whip in the driveway?
Yeah, everything. We still got the, I still got the 24-track library of, I got the 4 tracks from the Cold Chillin', the 8 tracks from the Cold Chillin'.
So
I got
very
masters.
Organized.
Yeah, I know where all my stuff
so
is.
So if you wanted to go home today and listen to TJ Swan's album, you could.
Did you put it in a computer?
Yeah, it's already digitized.
You took all your dats.
Most of them, yeah.
Most of them. And put them in a computer so you can pull stuff up.
Quickly.
Why don't you put out TJ Swan album? What's going to hurt?
I know, what's going to hurt? But, you know, TJ Swan was never a real singer. We all know that.
Yeah.
He was like a crooner.
Still.
So is the album whack?
It's not whack. He got dope beats.
Are there a couple joints?
He said
he got dope beats. You produced the beats.
Well, a lot of the beats were most of the songs that we were doing, kind of like Pickin' Boogies. He got a song over the Pickin' Boogies beat because, you know.
If people heard that right now, would you want to hear TJ Swan's
absolutely.
Song over Pickin' Boogies?
But now that I know what you're saying, though.
It's too similar
to great
stuff.
On hooks.
Right.
It was like when Nate Dogg did albums.
Right.
The songs weren't.
Although. Great. I just recently went and listened to Music and Me. Nate Dogg's album's pretty good.
No, it is pretty good, mm-hmm. but it's not
as great as you
as
remember
a Dre
him to be.
Song with a Nate Dogg hook,
right?
Because you know T.J. Swan was the first,
right?
Then Nate Dogg,
right?
Then T-Pain. What's the thing
we did?
That
we did this whole order that started with T.J. Swan. We skipped.
Oh, it's T.J. Nate Dogg is the new T.J. Swan, but T-Pain was the new Nate Dogg, and Future is the new T-Pain.
Right, exactly.
Right, there you go.
And there's got to be something. Is there anything between TJ Swan
and
Nate Dogg? Maybe
nobody
not.
Big. Hmm. It's not that far. Like
it's not that far. It's only
86, 87. Right. Nate Dogg is what? Nate Dogg's on the. Is he on the first Chronic? No, he's on first Snoop album.
First Snoop album. Though.
Wow.
93. So that's what 94, 93. It's not that far.
Not that far apart.
So anyway, sorry.
What else is in the lab? That's never.
I have at least 3 to 4 records. Unreleased from everybody. I could do an In Control 3. Right. I could do three and four.
Did you do that? What's the Rampage that Mr. C plays sometimes? With LL. Did you do Rampage?
No. I didn't do Rampage.
No, okay. That I'm thinking of after. Sorry, go ahead.
And yeah, also, but you did Mama Said Knock You Out?
Of course, the whole album.
And how's that check wise? That had to be a good one.
That's the lifesaver.
Well, so okay, so you're co-chilling. You do Kane, Coochie right. Rap, Biz, da da da, all your whole life. Then did you like leave Coachella?
I broke out because it was very unfair. I wasn't getting no royalties. You're trying to keep paying me to be a staff producer.
What was the last thing you did for them?
Just a Friend.
You did Just a Friend?
Just a Friend.
Well done. Well done.
No,
that's a good
I
one
get
to
no
do.
Nothing.
Are you
from
still
it.
Cool with?
Are we cool?
Ty?
No, I mean, me and Ty's alright. I mean, it's water spilled under the bridge.
You don't ever bring it up, like if you, like when you go down to eat, he got to pay though, right?
And it's all right. You know what? To be honest, I mean, one thing well, I can so, say about Cold Chillin. Look,
because they never paid him. For
look, yeah. No. To be honest though, Cold Chillin was cool. It was very, very successful in the hood. Very, very, like locally,
right.
Big. But it I know I learned later that I was more successful later. Because those records did way much more better later. When right. I got to LL, when I got to Heavy D, I'm doing platinum artists now.
Right.
Not artists that's just selling like 40,000 singles.
Right.
We
right,
hide
right.
in the hood.
Right.
You know, I could understand why I didn't see royalties
they
a lot because
didn't
they didn't even make a lot
think.
Of money. Yeah. They didn't make a lot of
there
money.
There were big songs.
Right.
But how many, a lot of them were vinyl sold to DJs
right.
and
right.
things like that. And
right.
Like
and
that.
Who knows?
By the time
knows.
You make that money, you're yeah. using it to pay for the next
yeah.
record.
And, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So
you don't even feel
it
like
was right. fun, but my real money came later.
So what are the big money makers? What are the ones that really?
Well, I'll tell you, the Coachella catalog is a good money maker
now.
Oh,
now
when they sample.
And iTunes, you got to learn how to make iTunes
yeah,
money,
that's,
right?
That's cool. Yeah, that's
but
cool.
you own the masters,
yeah.
Not Fly Ty.
No,
he owns
own.
Nothing.
He took everything.
He owns their publishing. Their
piece of publishing.
Yeah. They signed everyone to publishing.
Yeah,
or a lot
yeah
of
they signed everybody because there was so much
oh,
money
so
going on.
So you don't
around.
Own any other publishing?
No, I own my publishing and my masters. He owns their publishing.
Okay, question: how long? I mean, could you be good? If all your income was none of the other songs but just your whole Cold Chillin' catalog, could you live off of just that?
I don't know.
You couldn't.
No, if nobody didn't sample.
No, right now.
But
right now.
Could you
you'd
live just off Cold Chillin'?
Yeah, because it's been sampled a lot.
So you'd
there's
be
a
good.
Lot of hits in there now. You gotta think Jay-Z, Maya, you gotta you know, it's a
so
lot
the,
of
the
hits
checks
in there.
Rolling in just from Cold Chillin' would probably get you by.
The masters, the sample.
Yeah,
masters.
Yeah, of course, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
So
hell
what yeah. else?
This
then what else?
Record.
What else?
Wait,
became
what was the moment you left Cold Chillin'?
Right.
And who? Then
Just a Friend was
you
what year? 89. That's 89.
Around 89, right after In Control One, I broke out.
And who calls you to come do LL album?
LL came to BLS promoting Walking with a Panther, and I told him there's a song on your album that you need to let me remix, and I think people will like it. He's like, what song is that? You know, he couldn't really figure out. And I said, the song where you said, running over niggas like a redneck trucker. Oh, Jingling Baby. Yeah, I need that. Get me the parts to that. And I cooked that up for you. And he got me the parts.
And that was that.
And the funny thing, like I said, the last song I did for Cold Chillin' was Just a Friend, right? So I kind of swapped because the Jingling Baby remix was a track for Biz. But since I left, I took the track and gave them Just a Friend, and I took Jingling.
You acting like you swapped out a hit for like a dud. They're both hits.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah, so, yeah. I know. They're both. You know, it was cool.
Just a Friend. Did anyone get? Is that published? Is there anything from that publishing?
I think they was getting publishing for a while until they found out that that's from Philly International, the original.
They
Just
have to take 100% of that, right?
So I think they took it 100% now.
You.
And Jingling Baby saved Walk with a Panther, which was...
And it turned the career around, turned his whole thing around.
And
like
hold on,
cover.
So you were already... The album cover's tight. It's
the
animal.
Album itself is...
So you leave at this point, and they put out In Control Volume 2 after you leave?
Yeah.
With the stuff that was just sitting around?
Yeah.
So do you hate that album?
Yeah.
I got to tell you something, Marley. I'm so happy to have you tell me that.
Yeah, I hate that.
Me and
album.
My brother, our entire lives as huge Marley Marl fans, mm-hmm. there's only one joke we ever made about you.
Wow.
And that is that we would trash In Control Volume 2
mm-hmm.
because we would always see it at like fucking rest stops. It was like people couldn't give away In Control Volume
yeah.
2
yeah.
because they didn't put shit on it.
Yeah, to be honest, no disrespect to the artist that was on there that worked really hard and really thought they was going to get a career out of it. No disrespect, but... We did In Control 2, they took just studio stuff that I had laying around.
Hey, they just threw it all in there, huh?
Yeah, and they threw it together.
Who's on it?
Was everyone on it? Is it the same people?
I mean...
It's got to be the crew, right?
I mean, it was... We did the Symphony 2. That was the only song I remember from there.
That's the only one I remember.
Yeah. Everything else was like the stuff that they...
Was Little Daddy Shane on there?
He was on the Symphony 2.
Had to be.
Yeah. But like all of the other songs, it was just stuff that they just pulled together, stuff that I was doing in the studio. I already left. I was gone.
So what other... So then you get with LL, and then you do that whole next album with him,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm. That's when my life changed, by the way.
Mama said knock you out.
By the way, yeah. That's when everything changed. That's when David Letterman. Yeah, this is the David Letterman time, Soul Train.
No,
this is when everything blew.
What was the David Letterman time?
You know, with LL. This opened up the doors for me being a real producer. Now I'm doing real shows.
Yeah. I mean, he was on David Letterman.
He was on every show. Yes.
And you were DJing for that.
We did everything. That was my real introduction, I say, to the music business of seeing success.
So you made tons of hip-hop classics.
Classics.
And your start is not until Mama Said Knock You Out. In your mind,
In my mind, yeah, because...
That's when it got real.
That's when it got real. That's when the checks got real. That's when my life got real. That's when we started getting more organized and we flying in private stuff. It's different now.
But it's crazy because... Okay, I'm going to help you out because I'm looking now at your discography. That same year that you did Mama Said Knock You Out, which was 1990, you also did the Intelligent Hoodlum album.
Yes.
Oh. So
yes.
Crack.
Yeah. That's when I was gone. When I left Cold Chill and I took Tragedy and I took Craig G.
You also did Mass Ace Take a Look Around.
Yeah. That was like, you know what? That's kind of like I was already leaving the label and that was like scraps kind of. I feel bad for Ace because he got caught up in Ace was too good to be there to me.
Yeah, and it was later. And
right. Yeah.
Someone good for you to take along.
Right. Yeah. He was already signed in.
He was
stuck there. But he was too good to be there under the circumstances. I always thought that, you know, they had their stars that they was pushing, and they felt that they want to push this artist. But Ace was always a star that was just there to me.
Then you did the next year. You did, a Bell Biv DeVoe remix, some Peaceful Journey stuff for Heavy D.
Yeah, that's when
a whole Craig G album.
Yeah.
Now that's more like it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Strictly Business, LL Cool J.
Yeah.
Then you do two albums on TLC's album in 92.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Yeah, TLC, when they first came out, they actually camped up at the House of Hits for about 2 weeks. We was up there working some stuff with them. They, you know,
it's the same house now.
Same house.
Yo, so what happened to you in 93? You have nothing in 93.
93, I was probably depressed because I got fired from Hot 97.
Is that when you got fired?
Probably.
93?
No, I'm just playing.
No, we only started in 93.
No, I was here.
That was the beginning. You're still here. 94, you put out...
What were you doing?
No, I got hired actually at Hot 97 right after LL. That was weird. Right after LL,
the
success
wrong.
Of Mama Said Knock You Out, I got hired at Hot 97.
Yeah, but this is totally wrong because they leave out Here Come the Lords.
Right.
Literally, it skips Here Come the Lords.
Wow.
And goes right to, this is the problem with fucking Wikipedia, and then jumps to Keepers of the Funk.
Wow.
Yeah, forgot about Here Come the Lords.
Yeah, Here Come the Lords.
Who'd you do that with?
K-Def. But can I tell you something about the Lords? The Lords of the Underground record was the first record that Hot 97 played when they switched over.
Yeah.
Really?
That's right.
Psycho?
No.
Oh.
Funky Child?
No, not Funky Child.
Chief Rocka?
Bing.
Chief Rocka's a winner.
Bing. Psycho. Was Psycho on the album?
Yes.
Psycho was on the album. Yeah, Psycho was crazy.
That was a big video in Video Music Box days.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, Marley, I got to mention a couple of random ones you've done that I love. First of all, the LALA remixes.
Ooh.
Come on, man. You love the original.
Yeah, I love the original.
You love the original?
I love the original, too.
I'm not a fan of the original.
Yeah. I love it.
You ain't a fan of One Love from Molly Mall? What?
That's the best part. I love that shout-out.
That's the beat that... dun, 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 dun. Biggie used it better, just so you know.
Yo, you're disrespecting Molly Mall. Sorry,
Biggie used it better.
No.
Well, Biggie didn't produce it.
I know, but I like
it. Yo, okay, here's one Syph probably won't even remember. Oh, RZA did. That's good company. You may not even remember this, but this was my jam. Fat Joe Find Out.
Ooh,
you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Bing, 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 bing,
yo, that's all. Oh!
Now, can I tell you a story about that?
Yes, please.
That was Pun's beat first. Joe jacked him. Pun was at my house rhyming on that. Joe heard that. I was like, yo, I got to get that. He's like, yo, Joe. All
right, so here's the question. So let me ask the question. So where's that version?
That's in my dad's.
He has it.
I might play it. I'm gonna go
to his crib.
I'm going to be on Blackfist this week. I might play that.
You got to go to his crib, man.
No, save that one. Yeah. Can you hold that one? Can we go over there and find that one and unearth that? That is nuts.
Him and Armageddon killed that.
You have him and Armageddon on Find Out.
Him and Armageddon killed that.
Marley, I really think you and I should talk. There's something we could do with some of this music that could be pretty big, I feel like. Oh, yeah. I feel like you have some stuff that could be.
He has all the equipment from the Hot 97 back in the day.
Oh, yeah. I bought the old room
when it was on Broadway. His radio studio in his crib is Hot 97, the old Hot 97.
Yeah,
it
bought the room.
Insane.
See how this room is here?
You have this in your house.
I have this. Yeah. It's the same way.
Like the board.
The board right
the old
over
one
there.
Used to have.
The old one from Hot 97. I bought the old room when it was on Broadway and had it installed in my house upstate. So I have a room like this. Upstate, a radio station.
How far are you from me? Like an hour? 45 minutes?
45 minutes. Not too far.
Maybe. More or less than that. Because my wife's parents' house live past you, and that's 45 minutes from here.
Let's see what else you did recently. New York Shit Remix.
On that New York Shit. Oh, everybody likes that with KRS-One.
Yeah, you did the. I didn't know that. I don't know that song.
Yeah.
Then you did a song on the great heralded LL Cool J album, Exit 13. That was sarcasm.
Yeah.
You did a dope joint on Cuban Links 2, Pyrex Vision.
Oh, that was that right there. Let me tell you what that happened with that. I did the whole KRS-One album, Hip Hop Lives. Yeah. That's probably not there.
But, it's not.
I did the
that.
Whole album, but. For me doing that little 1 minute record, Pyrex Vision, I got paid more money from Pyrex Vision 1 minute and a half than for doing the whole album.
Why?
I don't know. That's weird. That was always weird to me.
That is very strange.
Yeah. I got such a big check from Pyrex Vision. I was like, wow.
By the way, LL has stayed pretty loyal to you, huh?
LL's cool.
He put you on the last album.
Yeah, he's LL's cool.
What do you mean? I'm sensing something there. What do you mean he's cool?
Yeah, that is a weird
cool.
Answer.
No, LL's cool.
But not that cool?
No, he's cool.
Go to LA and hang out with him on the set?
I do better than that. I go chill at the crib and go stay at the guest house. Hey.
Oh, so you're close with LL.
Yeah, we cool. Yeah. The week after he beat the guy down, I stayed at his house. And
When the dude broke into his house?
Yeah, the guy broke into his house. Now, here I go staying at his house the week after, making the alarm go off. And here comes the cops again. I'm in the guest house and I opened the window at night. And I'm like, oh.
You about to get it from LL. So when you say you guys have a relationship that's like, is it like, I don't know how I'm wording this awkwardly, but like a brotherly relationship?
I would say like that, yeah.
I mean, you guys are close because LL's.
Yeah, he's cool. He lived at my house. He came and lived there. LL's cool.
Is he a good friend?
Yeah, he's
one of your dear friends.
I don't find my good friends cool.
No, you know why? Because
you would say that's a dear friend.
Yeah, I mean, like,
that's my brother. Yes, that's my dog.
That's my dude. LL's cool. You know, I could say LL.
He can't help it. It's the only thing he says.
No, he's cool.
How's Kane?
Kane cool too, but LL, like, what he does with me, he'll like, yo, you good? Boom, boom. I'm working on so-and-so. Yo, I want to pull you in on something. He'll call me out of the blue. Just that's why I say he's real cool. Yeah.
Just to try to bring you in to do stuff.
Yeah, no doubt. And there's a lot of other people who I've touched in their career that don't do that. So that's why I say he's cool.
Gotcha.
A lot of people, you mean it's not a compliment.
You're just understated.
Right, right. He's real cool.
But he looks out.
Yeah, definitely. He throws bones a lot. He's like, yo, psh.
I feel like you're pretty. I mean, are you? I'm assuming though that you've been good for a long time. Your house paid for.
I'm good to go.
Well,
I'm just getting out of this thing with my ex-wife. It's been going on for
so the money you were making, you had to give some of it to your ex-wife.
Ooh, did I? Oh my God!
What kind of
don't nobody love Jingling Baby more than your ex-wife, huh?
Oh wow!
No one loves Mama Said Knock You Out as much as her.
That's right.
Why so much money?
Because
child support.
Because there was that, and I was coming up. And, you know, she taught me about this money thing, and she knew how to keep, you know, she taught me about this. She's like, oh, now you learned about this money. Now I taught you how to work this, and now you're going to try to leave?
Oh, so she's saying she credits herself with, she's included in your success.
100%.
Oh,
so
got
we got to go to this meeting. So here's what we're going to do. Then I mean this. We're going to stick to this, Sypha. I really want to stick to this. This is part one. Mm-hmm. It was a nice warm-up.
Okay, because I got detailed... No. Question.
Part two we do at his house. You have a studio with multiple mics like this?
Yeah, yes.
So we could do part two at your house.
Do you still do the radio show?
I'm here live, but I still got my room. So we could do this.
So part two.
You don't do the internet stuff anymore?
Nah, I chilled with that. That was internet. And what's that? Future Flavors Online.
Yeah.
Way before everybody started this online stuff.
Yeah, you guys were early. Yeah.
Can I ask one question?
We have a minute. We gotta go.
Okay, 1 minute. Okay. Why just the loop of clapping and cheering in the background?
Why? To always make it seem festive.
What are you referring to?
But then the music, some of the music that Pete would play would be the slowest.
I know.
Weed it out
I know.
Music.
I know.
Have you ever listened to Future Flavors?
Oh, yes.
It was the just hand claps. Cheering in the background. Like,
why are we talking? That's like Flex's bomb. Come on, man.
You're just comfortable. You're just comfortable with the cheering.
There you go. Yeah.
I use cheering on my show. I use it on spots when I'm talking a cappella for a long time.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. It's like Flex's bomb. It's just like my co-host.
Yeah. It's crowd noise. Yo, part two coming up from Marley Marl's House of Hits. Thank you, man. What an honor.